I also remain to have no financial relationships to disclose, so we'll breeze through that slide. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit now. You know, we've just been spending time thinking about the type of system, the way to communicate the information. I want to touch base on this issue of what's the nutrition criteria that might underlie a different, you know, single summary symbol, for example. So I want to talk about the smart choices symbol and kind of giving you the background here. As I said earlier, we'll breeze through this guy. But just this idea of what led to smart choices, which was an industry symbol, we'll talk about that in a sec, were all these different kinds of labels that were popping up everywhere, right? So something in principle sounded really good, the Smart Choices program. Basically, what happened was some folks from the industry got together with academics and public health advocates and educators, and they pulled together resources and came up with what seemed like a reasonable plan, a uniform labeling system that would appear on lots of different foods. And the symbol, this was taken from their website, looked like that. It was a check mark to let you know this was a good smart choice. It had calorie information on it, which makes a lot of sense, and had servings per package information. So August 2009, this gets released. And what were some of the Smart Choices products? Just the usual suspects. You got your Cookie Crisp, you got your Hellmann's mayonnaise, you got your Lucky Charms. It's almost like, why did we do a study on this? But we did. So basically, those products came out, and you know, at face value, people were skeptical of this. Okay, the FDA sent what I'm calling a sort of "we are watching" letter, basically saying, you know, we're going to be monitoring this program. Something seems a little off. And quite frankly, the New York Times, a great example of the media, just wrote sort of a scathing article about this, really calling to attention what I just showed you. So our, you know, I work at the Rudd Center, and we really try to focus on strategic science. And so we had a hunch, we felt as public health advocates and researchers and all of that, that this was probably not a system in the best interest of the public. But I'm a scientist, you know, through and through, and so I said, well, we've got to do research, because maybe those are just a few of the products. Maybe it's not as bad as it seems. So we kind of quickly mobilized, and they had a website. They put all the products up on it. So it wasn't you know, a full list, but whatever they had at that point. So went on the website, got 207 products off of it, and we took them from 8 different food categories that you see up there, you know, big range. They actually had 19 in total, but we were just focused on packaged foods only. And, you know, just to give you a sense of how we really tried to think through the design of this carefully. So there were often duplicate product types on the website, so, you know, different types of chips, let's say. So we would select the original version, so we weren't analyzing just lots of versions of the same product. Otherwise, we would randomly select one of the flavors to look at. When there were different versions of the same product, however, that included a name that indicated some nutritional difference, we wanted to capture both of those products in this analysis. So, for example, Frosted Flakes and reduced sugar, we took a look at both those kinds of cereals. Okay. When there were multiple brands of a food, so they had listed on their website 5 types of long grain brown rice, you know, we wanted to just look at one of those. We randomly selected one brand, so we weren't getting this lots of rice being analyzed. And then what we did, once we had our products, we obtained nutrition information from 2 places, the manufacturer websites or the nutrition facts panel, like went to the store, got the product, and pulled it right from there. So at this point, we had identified 112 unique products, and we ended up being able to retrieve nutrition information for 100 of those products. Now, what did we base this analysis on? So I mentioned very briefly, and I'm going to go into more detail here, what this nutrient profile model system is. Again, it's developed by Rayner and colleagues, and it's used to classify products as healthy. So it scores foods. It gives foods a general score on a continuum, but then there are also guidelines to say kind of a cutoff, that this food is better for you than that food. So it enables you to do both of those things. So lower scores equal healthier products. And basically, the way this model works is you gain points for negative nutrients. So by that, I mean calories, saturated fat, sugar, salt. And you lose points for positive nutrients. So percentage of fruit, vegetable, and nuts in the foods, things like fiber and protein. A food is less healthy if a score is greater than or equal to 4. And a beverage is less healthy if a score is greater than or equal to 1. So they do distinguish between those two. We pick this because it's been validated with nutritionists. It's informed public health policies in the UK and Australia. So they use it, like I mentioned, for the traffic light. They also use it to determine the kinds of foods that can be marketed during kids' television programming, as another example. And it has some interesting key differences from the Smart Choices criteria. So it's a uniform nutrition standard that's applied across products, as opposed to smart choices where there were different criteria depending on the food category. It gives credit for protein and nuts, but it doesn't give credit for vitamins and minerals, whole grains, fat-free, low-fat milk products, and smart choices did do that. So for example, something like the vitamins and minerals, you end up with a cereal like Cookie Crisp that you fortify that, and that could have bumped up points in terms of the smart choices system. But something like whole grains, which could be really good, this is not including. Negative nutrients for the NPM model also affect the score more than the positive nutrients, so it kind of gets back to that fortification issue. But I will say negative nutrients that could be important and are not included are trans fat, total fat, and cholesterol. All right, the big finding. 64% of Smart Choices products didn't meet the NPM standard. So you have this program, and if you compare it to something that is a bit more objective, let's say the industry wasn't involved, and validated, it's really, really quite a difference in terms of the number of products that would have met had we used a standard like this. Just going to break it down by food category. On the left there, you're going to see the condiments, the different categories, condiments, fats and oils, and cereals. I'll walk you through the number of products we analyzed in those groups, the number that met the nutrient profile model standard of health, and the percentage that met it. So for condiments, there are only three distinct ones listed. You can probably imagine what they were. 0% would have met NPM. For fats, oils, and spreads, we looked at 23 products. Only 9% would have met. Cereals was a big one. We looked at 32 products, only 16% would have met. For snacks and sweets, another big category, again, only 32% would have met NPM. Now, these last categories here, we ran into an issue. There weren't actually that many listed at the time we did this study. So there was only one unique dessert we could have looked at. It did happen to meet, so 100%. Soups, it was only healthy choice soups that were listed. There were 19, but they did all meet. Beverages, there were 7 teas listed, and they ended up all meeting. Breads, grains, pasta, flour, and rice, there was one rice. We couldn't find the nutrition information for the one bread product listed, and that met. So a couple of things to think about here. So the big picture, over half of the Smart Choices products didn't meet the NPM standard. Majority of those are categories that we're pretty concerned about from a health perspective. So cereals, sweets and snacks, fats, oils, and spreads, condiments wouldn't have met. Now, the desserts, the soups, the beverages, and the bread and grain products did meet. So there are two ways to think about it. One could be perhaps those criteria were rigorous enough, and you know we could think about drawing from them. But the caveat there is we didn't analyze that many products. They weren't up there on the website, so that could be the other reason. So overall, you know, what I took away here was that the Smart Choices nutrition criteria were inadequate when thinking about directing food choices among consumers. And that perhaps we should consider this NPM criteria that some other countries are implementing in interesting ways as the basis for a front-of-package labeling system in the U.S. So just to finish the tale of Smart Choices, so we did this study, very strategic, and we were like, all right, you know, this will be the data that we need, but data takes a long time to get published. So what ended up sort of taking down the Smart Choices program was not our study, but the Attorney General of Connecticut got involved, and Dick Blumenthal, he's now our state senator, and he basically threatened kind of legal investigation into the program. And once that happened, basically the Smart Choices program was halted. As you guys probably are aware, the FDA announced that they were going to take on their big initiative in front of package labeling, and so the industry essentially said, all right, well, you know, we'll wait for your recommendations. And then I leave you with the final question, because in fact, they didn't wait for the recommendations. They released the nutrition keys symbol ahead of time. And so it kind of comes back to this issue of can the food industry self-regulate in terms of front-of-package food labeling? And this is something we grapple with, obviously, in a lot of different areas in food policy. To date, I feel like the trend with Smart Choices and now the action with nutrition keys suggesting that maybe not, but it's something to think about and debate, of course. Thank you.